This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
George Wilson, one of the all-time favorites, with us here today in town this week to talk to brand-new Bills season ticket holders, members of the Rookies Club. What are you telling these people about Buffalo Bills football?
Hey, it's an exciting time to be a Bills fan. This is one of the most passionate fan bases in all the NFL. And we appreciate your support, you know, in being first-time season ticket holders. I mean, like I said, it's a lot of exciting things going on around the Buffalo Bills organization, and it's a great time to be a part of it.
These fans will respond to you. You remain, I think, a favorite among fans who remember your era here, which wasn't that long ago, really.
No, not at all. I mean, I always had a great time interacting with the fans, a lot of the community events hosted by the Bills organization. After the games, you know, a lot of fans always waited around in the parking lot or waited by your vehicle because they knew their players that much. They knew what they were driving. And, you know, just to get that personal interaction, you know, not just after a win, but after a loss as well, to kind of pick you up and uplift you and let you know that their support is unwavering.
Yeah, you were here for 8 years in Buffalo, and one of your signature moments happened on that Monday night game against Dallas. And it's interesting because as a player, I always think about this. It's like a third play is early in the game, right?
Yes,
it's like the first series. You pick off Tony Romo, boom, and you're into the house. And all of a sudden, you know, you're thinking, wow, here we go. You know, and for players, because you're always going to these games like, wow, we got to play well. Then when something happens like that good, it's like a big stress relief.
Absolutely.
Say, okay, okay, let's go now. And that play, three plays in, you pick Tony Romo off and take it to the house. That changed the dynamic of the expectations of everybody in the building.
Absolutely. I think it was one of the first Monday night football games aired from here in Orchard Park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The stadium was electrifying. I mean, the fans have been out there all day. And you know the Bills Mafia, you know, they're going to be energized and wired and ready to go. And to get that interception and pick six in that first series, I mean, it just electrified the crowd. I mean, there was such an aura throughout the stadium. And I think we ended up getting about three or four more interceptions off of Tony that night.
Right.
Just unfortunately, we was unable to finish off the job. You know, I believe Dan Bailey kicked that 53-yarder to snatch it out of our grasp at the end.
Kicked it twice after
twice.
It came out.
I mean, who does that? Who does that?
That guy.
That remains, of all the games I've broadcast, that remains one of the most disheartening. And I sat there,
I
told you, in the radio booth for a long time thinking, how did that one get away, right? It was right there.
Right, absolutely. I mean, that just goes to show you, you know, the quality of caliber quarterback that Tony Romo was. A gunslinger, always focusing on the next play, the next pass, the next series, and he was able to will his guys and lead them to a victory, unfortunately, at our expense.
You're one of the few guys who's come into the league, and I was reading your bio. You're Arkansas University, you're a Razorback. You left that school as the second all-time leading receiver in the school's history, and you end up playing safety in the NFL for all those years. For most people who listen to the show, they know I really had a lot of respect for guys who can transform their career. Lorenzo Alexander is a great example, a guy who's a 300-pound guy with his hand on the ground, turns into an outside stand-up guy with, you know, 35, 40 pounds lighter than he was. Switching from one side of the ball to the other at the point in your career when you did, really, you got a lot of help doing it, no question about it, but how difficult was that?
It was extremely difficult. The head coach at the time was Dick Geron. He came to me, he asked me would I be willing to make a position change because we had so much money invested in the wide receiver position and draft picks. And, you know, they just wanted to try to give me every opportunity to make the roster that year. And they liked my physical play as a receiver in special teams. He came to me, asked me would I be willing to do it, gave me a day or two to think about it, and came back. I said, Coach, I haven't caught a pass. I haven't caught a touchdown. And so maybe this is the opportunity I've been waiting for. And, you know, oftentimes in life, you know, opportunity is disguised as hard work, and it was certainly that. But I had guys like Jim Leonard and Kawaki Thomas who played in the defensive backfield with me to help me learn the playbook, to help me learn how to, you know, backpedal and be an actual defensive back. And then I had a position coach in George Katavalis who was very hands-on and took his time to really show me, you know, how to study, how to break down film and things like that. And like, it was a collaborative effort. You know, I can't take credit for it. Like I said, this organization afforded me that opportunity where other organizations probably would have just pushed you out and just replaced you with somebody else.
And you went from being a wide receiver who probably, given the roster makeup of the Bills at that time, you probably would not have played for the Buffalo Bills. You may not have had a 10-year career in the NFL, and all of a sudden, but your willingness to do that and put in the hard work, it turns into a really sweet little 10-year career.
Absolutely.
You ended up with a couple years of the Titans and put in a lot of great years here in Buffalo. And you that kind of goes on, gets pushed aside by a lot of fans. They say, hey, that's George. He's a safety. He's a special teams guy. That really is the hard work that goes into what makes a player put together a nice career, is the hard work.
Absolutely. I mean, I tell people all the time, if I don't make that position change, my career is over.
Right.
You know, and that's how timely of an opportunity that was. I remember John Guy was the pro personnel guy at the time. He pulled me in his office. He had his dry eraser board with all the players who had – there was like, let's just say there was like 100 guys that was in their third year. Well, the list that was in their fourth year was probably closer to 10. You know, right. There was more players than that, but he was just trying to show me that this is a pivotal year in my career. And in order for me to sustain my career and give myself a chance to continue playing, I probably need to embrace this opportunity and change positions. And I just say I had a lot more fun on defense than offense.
George Wilson,
it's a lot more fun being the predator than being the prey. I can tell you that.
We're with former Bills safety George Wilson. And to make that change, George, it had to mean a different skill set for you physically, right? I mean, you had to learn to backpedal. You had to learn the proper tackling technique. How much of the physical change was important to you back then? How much of that was
very drastic of a difference. I mean, you know, I had to bulk up, you know, protect my shoulders, making all those tackles, learn how to take on a 300-pound pulling guard, you know, to set the edge for the defense. But a lot of it was mental, John. Like, you had to play with an edge on defense. You know, you have to be able to anticipate and react in a fraction of a second in order to make a play on that football or to get off the field on third down. And so it was a lot more film study going in. You know, as a wide receiver, you know, you know, Steve,
right.
You know where you're going. You know, the right. Defense has to anticipate based on your alignment, based on the formation, based on the quarterback's drop. You know, so you know where you're going on offense, on defense. You got to do a lot of film study, a lot of preparation to be able to anticipate those plays. And that's the difference between being average, being good, and being great are the players that can carry over that film study and make plays on game day.
You mentioned Jim Leonard, who's now, we talked about it before we went on, a defensive coordinator at Wisconsin. He was playing then. He was your teammate. What did you get from him as a teammate as far as making that change?
Man, Jim Leonard taught me how to study my playbook. He taught me how to learn the plays and be able to recall those assignments, you know, without much thought. You know, he helped to simplify the playbook for me, and he took me by the hand knowing that I was playing the same position that he was playing. It was something that was very selfless. And when Jim was playing with the Jets and I was still here in Buffalo, you know, the first time I saw him, I went up to him, I gave him a big hug, and I told him, thank you, brother, because you didn't have to do that. And that just shows the brotherhood, the fraternity of being an NFL player, the quality of person that he was to be able to train someone that's going to compete with him for the very same job. And he, like I said, he ended up going somewhere else. And so several years later, I ended up doing the same thing for Denora Searcy, you know. And so it was my duty and my obligation to do the same thing for Denora's as Jim did for me. And I hope that other guys in the NFL around the league do the same thing in order to preserve this fraternity. It's not about a competition. It's about making sure that we put the best product out there on the field and we give each other the best chance to succeed and provide for our families.
Now, certainly there was a whole new skill set to learn at safety. There were, you know, different techniques. I mean, it was just the reverse. You know, certainly a wide receiver has a lot of technique, how to release and how to do run their route at the top of the stem, how to come out, what angle, and how to plant your feet and hold your shoulders and hand place, all of that stuff. Did that knowledge from the receivers, I got to think that helped you. Once you switched, there were certain things like, well, wait a minute, here's what they're thinking. You could almost say, in this situation, here's what this receiver's thinking. And that could almost help you as a defensive back and certainly maybe be the one thing you could contribute to a guy like Jim Leonard.
Man, that paid great dividends for me, Steve. When I made that position change, I had to ask myself, okay, what do I know right now that can help shorten this learning curve for me. I only have one offseason, essentially, to make this transition. And so I said, I know offense. So I know wide receiver splits based on where they're lined up, whether the routes they like to run, whether the depths of the routes based on the quarterback's drop, what coverages, based on the coverage that the defenses are running, what's the weakness of the coverage, where do we try to attack it. And so I tried to apply what I took, what I gathered from being on the offensive side of the ball to help apply that to the defensive scheme, how we were trying to attack, you know, the weaknesses of the offense, and just the synergy and the merging of those two things really helped me to shorten that learning curve and be able to get on the playing field sooner than later.
Talking with George Wilson, former Bills safety, in town to talk to members of the Bills Rookie Club, new season ticket holders. George, you mentioned Dick Geron was your head coach, and then Chan, you played here with Chan. Not tremendously successful years for the team, but you had some highlights, and I imagine you had some games, and we talked about the game against the Cowboys, but games and moments where you thought things maybe had turned the corner a little bit for the Bills.
Yeah, absolutely, especially I guess that was maybe the 2011 season. I think we jumped out maybe 4-1,
yeah,
right,
and beat the Patriots here at home. Ended that long drought of consecutive losses to them, and we were really well on our way. I think some injuries slowed us down, and We didn't have as good of a second half of the season as we did the first half, but you know, certainly you know, we definitely built up some momentum early on, and there's a lot of excitement around the Bills at the time.
How many guys do you keep in touch with from those days? I know you finished your career in Tennessee. Where are you living now?
I still have my home in Atlanta, Georgia, but I also have a farm property in my hometown of Paducah, Kentucky as well. So I'm splitting time between both places, and I see a lot of guys. I mean, I'm in an investment group. It's called Fifth Quarter Investments, and it's Angelo Crowell's our president.
Sure.
London Fletcher's our vice president. Takeo Spikes, Nate Clements, Terrence McGee, and Mario Hagan. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have an investment group. All former Bills. And, you know, to be able to continue our relationship off the field. And, you know, we always talk about our time here in Buffalo, how we all connected initially. And it's just a great platform for us to be able to have a second career where we're pooling resources and sharing the risk and investing in businesses or starting our own businesses. And so I keep up with them, Marcus Stroud, and few other guys, you know.
You played with some good defensive players.
Oh, man, some great guys. Yeah. I mean, when I tell people, you know, some of the names that were here when I first got here in 04, I mean, we had Pat Williams and Sam Adams.
Man, and some guys.
I mean, we really had a juggernaut on the defensive side of the ball. And but the great thing about that, I had true professionals to get to know, to follow their examples, and to really teach me how to be a pro, which allowed me to, in essence, do the same thing for the younger guys as I got older.
While you played here, George, you became, I don't want to say the spokesman for that defense or the team, but you were in the media a lot. I'm going to take credit for it. I think I was the first one who called you the senator,
I
right?
Think you were, Murph.
Yeah.
Hey, I think you were, Murph.
You were like the guy. You were the guy, the go-to guy for the media back then, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. And that's just, I try to give an honest assessment. I was accountable to my own actions, plays that I made, plays that I didn't make. And not just saying what sounded good, but saying what needed to be said. And
you were a truth teller.
Yes, absolutely. Not avoiding the tough questions. And yeah. I think that's why, you know, members of the media took a liking to me, you know, just because I was a straight shooter and I wasn't going to give them a BS answer on just a question that was, you know, easy to avoid or to duck.
So I was a guy. I called you the senator. And
I think, yeah, Murph, you can take credit for that.
I want credit for that.
Hey, absolutely.
I elected you to the Senate.
And you
did.
Awesome. You did.
Murph and I have been sitting here. We do this every day, and we talk about the Bills, the Buffalo Bills, and you said, you know, you've been asked back to talk to the Rookies Club of brand-new season ticket holders. I want to ask you, you know, you live in Atlanta, and you spend split time between there and Paducah. How close do you stay attached to the team? How much attention do you pay to what the Bills are doing? And we've said, this is the most optimistic 6-10 team from a year ago ever. How optimistic are you about the Bills and what they're doing?
I mean, I'm excited about the direction the organization is going in. It's been always been sound defensively. Looks like we have our franchise quarterback to be able to build around. I was very excited a couple years ago to see the playoff drought ended. And, you know, just to see the players continuing to buy in and press forward. And anytime you got the support of the Bills Mafia and the Buffalo Bills fan base, you know, the sky's the limit. I really see us really breaking through that threshold and really becoming a consistent playoff team. And I think this organization deserves that. This fan base certainly deserves that. And I think the best days are ahead for this organization.
George, it is great to see you. Thank you for coming in with us today. I know fans are going to be really excited to talk with you this week while you're in Buffalo.
I was excited when I found out I was going to be on with you guys today, and you guys certainly didn't disappoint. I'm excited to be here
it's
with you all,
It's great seeing
too.
You, man. Thanks
good to see you all, too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.